Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beach and Company. Stop flipping around the dial. Beach and Company. And let's hit the beach for a while. Beach and Company. The all-around talk of the town. Beach and Company. He'll pick you right up when you're down. Beach and Company. Sandy's on the air making Buffalo proud. He's bigger than life and twice as loud. News Talk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach and Company.
Wow, hello, hello, hello. It is Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. Got a lot to talk about today, I'm telling you, including a mishap on moving a piano. I don't know if you saw that story or not, but this wasn't just a piano. This was a very expensive $200,000 piano. Stand by if you want to have fun at somebody else's expense. Hang in there.
News Talk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach and Company.
All right, let's see what's going on. It is Beach and Company, and the in company includes Tony Caligiuri and Joe Beamer. Tony, I saw some pictures of you, your son working out at the gym.
Yes.
Are you cracking the workout whip, or what are you doing?
No, Nick wants to get serious about sports. I tell him all the time, you know, if you want to play, you're at the age now where it's no longer just go out and be with your pals. These kids are competitive, and if you want to get out there, you need to work out. So plus he sees that his friends are doing that.
Are they,
so he
his
wants
friends are
to.
Working out at yeah. his age? How old is he?
12.
12. Isn't that early to work out?
No, that's actually the age that you want them to start.
Are the muscles still developing at 12?
Yeah, but it's lightweight, 5 pounds, you know, things like that. You know, when I hosted the Thurman Thomas Training Hour, we talked about what was the right age to start a kid with weights, and it was 12.
He could be the next Thurman Thomas. That
he
would
could
be nice.
Be.
That would be nice. That'd be good. Meanwhile, let's see, Mazurowski had a baby, and Tony's son is working out. Buzzy, you're the only one left out of this. What's going on with you?
Which part?
Well, let's see, we had baby, and we had young boy,
yep.
And you are you're a millennial boy.
I am still a young boy at heart.
How'd it go over the weekend? I heard you had Chris Jacobs on for an hour. That's good.
Yeah, I had Chris Jacobs on Hardline Sunday, if you missed any of that. Obviously, not in the next 3 hours, but you can get it on demand at WBEN.com. Looking forward to Nate and Chris having a debate, maybe even here on WBEN.
That would be good. That would be we'd take sharp objects out of the room and let them go at it. I think that's a good
Can't
idea.
Can't we get Dana White here and do, like, you know, UFC style?
They got to do the weigh-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that steel cage studio.
That's right.
One of them's going to turn into Conor McGregor.
Does the president know visualization or what? Was he the coolest thing, he and his beautiful wife, at Daytona? You see the plane coming in. First of all, the plane looked like it was coming in right over the grandstand.
That was wicked.
Maybe it was the shot, but it looked fabulous. Air Force One is such an iconic airplane that when you see it, it's really an event. So you got that, and then they took the Beast, which weighs 12,000 pounds. Okay, my truck now is a big, heavy truck. It's one of the heaviest trucks on the road, and it weighs, guess how much, 6,000 pounds. So then the Beast weighs 22,000.
It could do 200 miles an hour.
I'm sure it's got a decent engine in there. And they took a lap.
Yeah.
Took a lap, a warm up lap at Daytona, which is a bank track, and that's cool. They didn't pop a wheelie or anything. But that was just the coolest thing. And the young woman who sang the national anthem, an Air Force sergeant.
She was fantastic.
She was very good. She looked like she was 12.
Yeah.
Didn't she look young?
She did.
So between her, the color guard, the president, the limo.
The flyover.
The flyover was fabulous, too. And actually, it was just an exciting day until the end, until the last lap and the last corner of the last lap. where there was a really serious crash. But
that was scary.
Not life-threatening, so that's good.
I mean, just the way the broadcast ended with
nobody knew.
Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon, you could tell it was very somber. And like you said, yeah, they didn't know.
Well, look at the driver's reaction when they were talking to them. Those guys, you could tell they were visibly shaken up.
Well, of course.
It took them 20 minutes to get him out of the car. They didn't show him going into the ambulance, but it's great that it won't be life-threatening.
Even though they're competitors on the track, they're not competitors in life. No. They're friends because they travel a circuit together. I'm sure they do stuff together. And then they put on their helmets and they compete. And racing is, you know, despite the fact that they have those steel cages and they have all kinds of equipment and good medical groups, it's still a very dangerous sport. Always has been.
Do you guys criticize or look or even accept any of the criticism towards Fox, how they handled the end there by not getting too much into it, not showing him coming out of the car, things like that?
I think that, you know, when something like that happens, no, I'm not critical. The reason is when something like that happens and you don't know, I don't think anybody wants to guess the extent of the injuries, what's wrong, is he still alive? I think they're very careful not to do that until they know. And they didn't know for 2 hours. So they couldn't stay on the air for 2 hours, you know, just not having any more information than that. No, I'm not critical of them.
Yeah, I think it was smart of them to obviously not show the incident. You don't know what's going on. And I also applaud that they kind of cut victory lane short. They got a quick interview, only interviewed two or three drivers, and said, you know what, let's get out of here.
They now, let's see, somebody, maybe it was a spectator, said that it reminded them of Big E, Dale Earnhardt's crash. I saw Dale Earnhardt's crash. I didn't think Dale Earnhardt would have even been injured in that one.
Right. Same here.
The one yesterday was, I didn't think, was anything like Earnhardt's crash.
No. And like I said, these cars now are so safe the way they're strapped in. If Corey LaJoie hadn't, you know, wasn't there, and nothing Corey LaJoie could do about it, but if he wasn't there, I mean, it was just when Newman's car was on the driver's side, that was really the impact. Because I saw Carl Edwards a few years ago get thrown into the fence, bounce off the fence, over the track, into the infield, and walk out of that car.
I was watching a race of Formula One, and there was a driver there who was just dominating, named Anton Senna. Senna may have been, if he hadn't passed, the greatest race car driver of all times, okay? And he was in Italy. I think it was Imola. And he's coming around the curb, and then his car suddenly just took a right-hand turn directly into the side barrier. But it looked like such a minor thing that I'm thinking Senna's going to be so ticked off because this is going to be something minor. You know, some 25-cent part in that car or something. No, he was fatally injured, and it hardly looked like he bumped the barrier. And Formula One has great safety things too. So racing is inherently dangerous. You got to expect that, and it's much safer now than it used to be. There are specials on when people were dying. I've seen a couple of specials on the danger of car racing when people were dying every weekend. Every single weekend. And so they got a lot better on safety, and we're glad it's not life-threatening, but it's pretty scary to look at. We'll take a break and return on News Radio 930 WBEN. Boy, every once in a while you see something that gets your attention. This happened in London. A British woman who was drunk was on the plane, and she tried to open the door of the plane thousands of feet above the North Sea. She's been jailed for 2 years and barred from riding any airlines, according to what I have here from London. Chloe Haynes was on the Jet 2, which is a British budget airline. She leapt to the door of the plane, scratched a member of the crew, and shouted, "I'm going to kill you!" And they immediately thought Jeff Dunham was on the plane with Ahmed. But it wasn't Ahmed, it was her. According to, "I'm going to kill you," fellow passengers helped the plane crew restrain her, and that was that. The prosecution said she was drunk, loud, and argumentative. Should make a good talk show host, don't you think? Drunk and argumentative at the same time. She pled guilty to endangering the safety of an aircraft and common assault during the flight. So that's it. That's the last thing you need is for somebody to get involved and try and open the door I wonder if the whole thing would decompress if that door. Yeah, I wonder if they can even open the door when they're traveling at that speed and that height. I don't know. Would the door just simply open?
I would imagine that it would be difficult, but if it did, yeah, the whole plane would decompress.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing. Seeing people sucked out the front door of the plane would not be a good look.
I don't know why I keep thinking of the quote from Animal House, fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Oh, that's how they described her. Well, not fat. They didn't want to insult her.
No.
But maybe she wouldn't have fit through the door. Who knows? Now, also, every once in a while, things happen. And that's why you get the bumper sticker that says, things happen. In Berlin, according to this article from the Washington Post, in a Berlin recording studio, on a grand piano stretching more than 9 feet long, Angela Hewitt wrapped up her concert of Beethoven. For the forthcoming CD, she headed to the control room to hear how it sounds. Okay, so she told the crew, okay, move the piano. Now, this wasn't just any piano. This was a $200,000 piano. $200,000. The world-famous pianist from Canada wanted her movers to haul away this huge piano. And when she was in the middle of listening to what she had just recorded, there was a sheepish look as the people who were moving the piano appeared outside the door to the recording studio, and they said, we dropped it. They dropped a $200,000. I couldn't believe it, she wrote. The accident has left her mourning a one-of-a-kind instrument, traveled all over Europe with her for the past 17 years. She said it happened roughly 2 weeks ago, but she couldn't even talk about it. I didn't immediately want to share it with the world. One can only guess what her first words were. The movers were mortified. In their 35 years of experience, they had never dropped the piano. Unlike the Laurel and Hardy skit where they're trying to move the piano up the steps and it keeps falling down, this was a real deal. She bought the piano from its maker. It had a lot of custom things in it. But one of the things that's very custom, it had a fourth pedal because nobody knows if there's ever been another piano like it. She's had it all of her life, and now it is unsalvageable. You cannot fix it. The main frame of the piano, I don't know what the correct term on that, is broken, and so she's done. She's going to have to get a piano. Maybe Jim Chimper can set her up with a new piano. I don't know if he's got any $200,000 pianos, but he's got really nice pianos. We should contact her. I'm sure she's in a good mood.
Oh, yeah, I'm really sure.
She's going to use different movers from now on. I have a feeling that's not going
to
be it.
I had to move a piano once.
Did you really?
Yes, for John Volpe, of all people.
Dr. Dirty.
Yes, I was contacted by a friend of mine. Says, hey, we're looking for movers. John Volpe's playing a concert in South Buffalo, and it was at a bar that was on the second floor.
Oh, jeez.
So we had to carry his piano all
upstairs?
The way up the two flights of stairs into the bar, and he was great. He was so nice and thankful, gave us records. We were paid to do the job, and just what a nice guy. And then I saw he had a nice concert Saturday with Rob Lederman at the Riviera.
I would have just rented a keyboard. Say, hey, we can't lift this damn thing. This keyboard only weighs, 5 pounds. Here, use this, Dr. Dirty. Okay, got some things on, some unusual, different things today on the police blotter in the Amherst Bee, February 3rd. Are you ready? At a Maple Road movie house, a male driver was allegedly smoking a bong in the front seat of his silver Suburban in the rear parking lot. My suggestion to him is go inside. They have comfortable chairs. That's my favorite movie theater. I don't think they allow you to smoke a bong in there, but at least you'll be comfortable when they come and arrest you. I think that's a good idea. On February 4th, at a Hopkins Road library, now, I'd like to know how they know this. A 60-year-old man, how do they know how old he is? The library. They put your birth date on the library card? A 60-year-old man with a goatee, wearing dark clothing and a small backpack, was reported to be talking to himself while sitting at a computer. People were calling him names. He said people were calling him names. There was nobody around talking to him. He was talking to himself. The complainant noted that they were concerned because a story time was taking place. What was he doing? He was just talking to himself. Now, we don't know what he's saying, but hey, boys and girls, here's what happens if you get to be a decrepit person. A resident of McNair Road reported that a man in his 40s with a mustache, a lot of guys in their 40s with a mustache, was driving around the area in a blue RAV4. The resident said a female was driving. Every once in a while, the guy would step out and take a picture of a house or a garage. Whoa, that's called homework. That's called preparation. Yes, that's what it is. Also, on February 5th, a complainant reported that he was, get this, he was with a female at a Maple Road motel last night, and she took everything he owned. He said that the items included a credit card, a wallet, cash, and medicine. So I wonder how he ended up with a woman at a motel. I guess they just maybe sharing a room for, it's cheaper.
It happens.
Two people are using it. Yeah, absolutely.
Every day.
Many of you are thinking about different things. In fact, we can't judge this guy. We don't know.
No. Yes.
Was his name George Costanza? And did he just meet her on the subway?
That's exactly right. He left with everything but George. She took George's clothes, as a matter of fact.
Because he had no money.
Seinfeld reference. Now, Tony's in a bad mood. He hates it when we do Seinfeld references. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930. This is WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it is Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. Good to be back. Had a nice four-day weekend. That was terrific. Okay, got some news. The Russian trip is done. We are done with it. The ship is sold out. We'll all be going on it together, and we'll see you at the airport or on the ship or at dinner or breakfast or whatever. But the Russian trip, the ship is sold out. So the next trip we have will be 2 months after that. It's in August. And that will be Alaska. And we'll tell you more about that later. But if you need more information, 1-844-688-7477. Got it? Good. All right. It is Beach and Company. Let's see. I had a couple of things that I wanted to discuss with the guys. And this is one of them. This is our subject for the day. First of all, if you've flown much at all, you know that it's high tension now flying. And not the safety aspect, just the getting through the long lines and getting through security and then getting your seat And then people don't want to check any baggage, so they come in with skis, a Zamboni machine, and anything they can possibly get on the ship and try and stuff it in the overhead. And people are not generally very courteous. The travel part by airplane is not a lot of fun, okay? It's fun when you get there or get there and get on the ship, but it's not a barrel of laughs when you're flying. So this story is it's all over the internet, and I saw it last night on TV, and I thought this would make a good subject because a lot of people have been flying and have run into people like this, and I'm wondering if the person who is complaining is going to get the sympathy or not of the audience. I'm just trying to guess. So here's the deal. This woman was flying, and that's that. And there was a guy sitting in back of her. So she decides, I'm going to put my seat back down. Now, just so you'll know, when I fly, I never recline my seat, simply because when you recline your seat, the person in back of you, if they have any size to them, if they're not Mike Bloomberg, if they're any size at all, you're going to hit their knees, their tray isn't going to. So I just, out of courtesy, I don't recline my seat ever, okay? So this woman reclines her seat. And the guy in back of her is like, can't do anything. And so he asks her, would you mind not reclining your seat? So she said, okay, I'm having my lunch or whatever meal it was. And she kind of moved forward and gave him a little room. All right. Finished her meal. And then what did she do? She reclined her seat again, a second time, because she knew that the guy couldn't do what the guy wanted to do, even eat or anything else, while the seat was reclined. So she did it as a courtesy the first time. But then she reclined it again. So the guy started doing things that probably a lot of people would do. He started thumping on the seat, you know, like this, and he kept thumping. She said he was punching. So she decided she would take out a video phone, you know, a phone with a video on it, and hold it out there like a selfie, but around the edge of her seat to show the guy thumping the back of her seat. Okay. She called the woman who takes care of you that does not want to be called a stewardess. She's a flight attendant, okay? So she called the flight attendant over, and the flight attendant didn't do much about it. And so she was really ticked off. So now she's gone public with it. She had to go through this for the rest of the flight. She claimed she was assaulted, and she's got a lawyer, all this. Now, I'm standing there, if I'm the judge on this case, just from what I told you, and what I told you, by the way, is an approximation of what happened. Because here's how particular people are. Tony, up on my screen, the story about the piano said it was $200,000. That's what the story says. That's what the reporter said. This one said, Sandy, it was $194,000. Oh, please.
Fake news.
Stop it. Like that would change the subject? Oh, they dropped the piano, but it was only $194,000. It could have been $200,000.
Never mind.
Don't you hate when people do that?
Yes. It's called nitpicking.
When you're doing a talk show, you do approximations. You know, it's not a NASA space launch. I said what the story said, and it said $200,000. I'll take the word as to $194,000. I don't care. What, are you selling it on the flea market?
Can I get $197,000?
Do I hear $197,000? So anyway, so she claims she was assaulted because he was thumping on the back of her seat. The CEO of another airline, that was an American Airlines subsidy flight, a different branch of American Airlines. The CEO of Delta said that you should always ask, is it okay if I recline my seat? Which makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4 and over 300 pounds, and I don't recline it because I have the courtesy of not wanting other people to be uncomfortable. I'd rather be a little bit uncomfortable myself than make them uncomfortable. I don't know them and they don't know me. Okay, so I'm asking you, who would get your sympathy? The woman, if you were the judge, or the thumper? Now, I know if as I'm standing here, I'm thinking, okay, the thumper shouldn't be thumping. But she also, if she has any courtesy at all, shouldn't be reclining the second time. And so I have more sympathy, even though I don't think it was the right thing to do. I wouldn't do it. I don't think you should do it. But in a court of law, I would say you weren't assaulted. It was a reaction to you doing something that he asked you not to do. Okay, he was wrong. We're not going to throw him in jail. We're not going to fine him $1 million. We don't even know who he is, probably. So my sympathies would be more toward the thumper than the woman. Even though the thumper was wrong to do it, I think the other side of it, she was wrong to put it down a second time and then take pictures of it and all that. Okay, Tony, you're the judge now. Do you go for the woman or the thumper?
I'm going to go with you on this one. I agree. I think both had their were wrong, but you know, if the second time you're asked, please don't recline. Don't recline.
Yeah, just don't do it. Don't do it. Does it hurt when you do that? Well, don't do that. So if I were the judge, I would throw it out of court. Not that the thumper was right to thump, but I think it was an overreaction. He asked her not to, and she did it anyway. Okay, Buzzy, you're Judge Buzzy. All rise. We're hearing from the Honorable Judge Buzzy. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, if he asked her not to and she reclined again, I would have handled it differently. I probably would have used my words. But at the end of the day, it's not worth the judgment in her favor. So, yes, I would side, the sympathy goes, to the guy sitting, by the way, in the chair that doesn't recline.
Yeah. Now, here's what thank you, Buzzy. Now, here's what I do if I'm in front of somebody that's going to recline the seat, or I think is going to recline it, and I'm really tight. Some airlines, you're really tight. There's like an inch between your knee, and if you have that. So what I do, you know what I do? I have a little trick. I put my knees up against the back of the chair. So when they go to recline, they can't, and they think the seat just doesn't recline. There's no push at all. I do that simply because if they recline, my kneecaps would fall off. And that's not certainly, it's more on the little commuter hops if you're coming from New York to Buffalo or something. Certainly not on the international flights, which take longer, have more people, whatever. 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, and star 930. Whose side are you on, the woman or the thumper? Plus your personal airline experiences. Tell me if you've run into anything like that or bothersome or kids crying or whatever. On News Radio 930, WBEN. I fly a fair amount of time, and I've flown all over the world with our trips with AAA. To get to where the ship is, you have to. Otherwise, you can't take a train across the ocean. So the bottom line is I've seen a lot and been through a lot and flown a lot when I was programming for NBC. I used to go all over the country and listen to radio stations and things like that. So I've been through my fair share. I said I try and be as polite as I possibly can, and if I knew that I was going to get in the way of somebody's knees sitting in back of me. The only time I ever recline is when there's nobody sitting in back of me. And even then, I make sure. I'm polite. I'm a polite person. But not everybody is. And I'd like to know, do you favor the woman or the thumper? I favor the thumper, not because I said what he did was right, because it wasn't. But the woman said she was assaulted. Oh, come on. And it was the second time she did it before he started thumping. He asked her not to recline, but she was having lunch or dinner or something. And that's fine. And when she got done, she got back to the regular. But then she reclined again a second time, and that's when the thumping started. Okay, let's go to Frank in Tonawanda. Frank, who do you favor, the thumper or the woman?
Well, I tell you, I sort of leaning towards the thumper. Not condoning what he did, you know, constantly pounding, because I've been in a position where I had a young kid that was sitting behind me, and he kept pushing with his feet against the back of my seat.
Happens a lot, yeah.
A lot. And I turned around and I asked his parents, I said, do you think you could maybe control your young man here? Because he keeps thumping the back of my seat.
Yeah.
Well, he stopped for like 5 minutes, and then he continued on again. But you know, it just seems like nowadays when you fly, there's so much so much in there's unruliness. People don't have any sense of being courteous towards their fellow passengers on a plane.
I'll tell you why. First of all, they spent a lot of money to be on the plane, and they went through all kinds of problems with security and whatever, and they finally got on the plane. I think that they figure they've paid their dues. They can do anything they want.
Yeah, and they feel that they're miserable before they even get in their seat.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, Sandy, last year we went to Jamaica. And, you know, that's like a four-and-a-half-hour flight.
Okay.
We flew out of Boston. And as soon as we got on the plane, these three individuals behind us, as soon as we got in the air, they broke out their fish dinners.
Oh, gee.
Sandy, now how would you like to fly four-and-a-half hours with the scent of this?
They brought it smelt. I think it wasn't a smelt, but it smelt. They brought their own fish?
Yeah, they brought fish dinners on, and I'm going, are you kidding me? Be a little sensitive to other people around you on a plane. There's no work.
They don't care.
There's no place for that smell to leave.
And let me tell you something. If anybody on the plane, like in Europe, they don't believe in things like deodorant, okay? And all it takes is one or two people who really don't believe in deodorant, and the whole plane is like, oh, my God, are we there yet?
I know, Sandy, I dealt with that for 3 years when I was over there, and I'll tell you, you're so right.
I discovered it when I was in Boston going to radio school, and I would be sitting, you know, at the MTA. I'd be sitting on a bus or a train, and somebody would be standing next to me who was like that. Forget it, Charlie. You want to walk to where you're going.
But, you know, I've been on one of those flights that those passengers were on, and the seating on American Airlines is atrocious. They cram people in there like sardines. You have no leg room. And I really do truly feel sorry for a person like you for anybody who has long legs.
Yep.
And there's no place for them to go.
You know, I think they should change the designation. Forget about business class or first class or whatever. When you buy your ticket, well, first of all, you may not even talk to a person. It's all electronic now. But if you do luck out and get a person, they should say, would you like deodorant or non-deodorant section? And then just have them all together and kind of rope it off or something.
Really? I mean, but I'm telling you, I'm not a big guy, but I always try to get the aisle seat so I can stretch out my one leg at least.
I used to try and get the window seat that was near the emergency exit. But because now I use a cane, they won't let you sit there because that is for an emergency, and you've got to be able to help others out and stuff. So
yeah.
I usually get in regular seats now, and when I do, it's really tough for me. They do not make these seats for anybody my size.
Yeah, I traveled with a friend of mine when I was in a service, and he was like, oh, good 6'4", 6'5", and we were traveling back from Germany back to the States for some little R&R, and he was sitting in this seat. We were flying commercial because we couldn't fly any other way, and in this seat, and I swear to God, his knees were up to his chin.
I've been there. If you take a commuter plane from New York to Buffalo, and it's American, good luck on that. You better be Michael Bloomberg in order to be comfortable in the seats. We'll be back. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much. We'll be back with Beach & Company News Radio 930 WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.